All right. Thank you so much, Marlene and Enrique. It's so good to have the update. And please continue to pray for our mission there in the Dominican. Welcome to the message. Welcome to the message. And if you are new or you jumped on because somebody shared this on Facebook, I'm Pastor Dave Overholt of Church on the Rock. And just a reminder, all you good Church on the Rockians, it's so easy. Just press a share and then share now. And you can throw this, the rest of the service on your Facebook site. Let me tell you a couple things that I'm really pumped about. Okay, you might not know this, but if you're on our Facebook group, there's this little piece of paper that looks on there. It's our tiny group printout. And you go, okay, I'm not in a tiny group, so you sort of scroll past it. But actually click it on, and if you want to, print it out, throw it on your refrigerator, stick it on a wall, because it not only has some questions about the sermon, but it has prayer requests for our church. And if you want to continue to pray for Church on the Rock, that's a great way to do it. One of our staff, Shannon Freeman's done that. Shannon, you did a great job. Thank you so much for getting that out. And I'm so pumped about our prayer summit tonight. I want you to make this a priority. If you are a believer, if you're a part of Church on the Rock, please make it a priority. Log on, and we need to pray about so many things. We need to depend on Him. Do the hard work of prayer, and just stand back and watch God do His thing. Also, I know that there are always people that sort of log on, and you sort of pass through. You give us 3 or 4 seconds. I believe with all my heart that God has sent you here for a reason. There's something in this message that He wants to give you. So sit back, relax, take it in, and enjoy. I'm going to pray that God would give you some encouragement, some things that are really helpful from His Word. So let's jump into it with some prayer. Heavenly Father, I love You. I just love You so much. You are so giving and self-giving that You gave Your only Son to us so that we could know You and walk with You and love You back so pristinely beautifully. And God, this love relationship You've entered us into, God, it is so wonderful, and people need to know about it. People need to know because it's open for everyone. So I pray You'll invite everyone in to this beautiful relationship. And God, not only do You want us to be in the relationship, but You want us to be able to grow in You and become more and more like Your Son. And so, Lord, help us to be more and more like Jesus today. Through Your Word, we invite You to come and change us in Jesus' name. Amen. Awesome. Well, I get the privilege of speaking a lot at Church on the Rock, and so I spend time listening to God. I say, okay, God, what kind of things do we need to talk about? I got this sense there, you know, what are some of the things that changes everything? And so there's this one subject that seems to change the course of your life. If you don't get this one thing right, families split up. If you don't get this one thing right, you could easily lose your job, and not only that, your career. It rips apart best of friends. This is a big subject, even though it seems like such a small thing. And it starts in the book of James as a little intro. And this is what we talked about week number one. James chapter 3, verse 2, it says this. We all stumble in many ways. And in other words, we all make mistakes. We all know that. We're all human. And you'd think the Bible says, okay, so you get a pass. But it doesn't. It says, but everyone who is never at fault in what they say is perfect, able to keep their whole body in check. In other words, the words that we use are disproportionate in effect. They're just huge. A few things that you say can make a huge difference, both negatively and positively. It's interesting, in the Bible, God actually spoke the world into existence. The energy of His voice created the matter around us. And I firmly believe that something about words, the power of God's words, actually is creative. He asks those who want to become a Christian, He doesn't tell them, be good enough and I'll love you. No, He says, I love you and then I'm going to make you good enough. The idea is His love is the beginning of it. And He just asks us to enter a relationship. And how do we enter that relationship? We believe. We just believe God is alive, that He sent His Son to die and rise again. And then we actually use our words, the power of our words, to confess, He is my Lord. There's something about the words that are just seem disproportionate in effect, positive ones and negative. So week one, we ask, okay, how can we help ourselves not get in trouble with the words we use? So unfortunately, the Bible also tells us the answer. One of the answers that the Bible gives in the book of James says, just ask in relationships, just ask to understand. What did you mean by that? Hold on. I want to repeat back. I want to fire back, but I'm going to slow down and be quick to listen and ask to understand. Week two, the Bible easily talks about do not complain. And you go, well, great, that's easy for you. And it's like, it's so hard to not complain, which is actually complaining about complaining. Anyway, it's hard not to complain. And so when we're tempted to complain, we came back and sort of pushed back to this point and said, if you can change your circumstances, if your circumstances are bad, then do something. Actually change them. Oh, I need a job. Oh, it's so hard. Well, go and apply for a job. Oh, you know, I have no friends. Well, go and actually talk to friends. If there's something you can do, actually do something about it. But if there's something about your circumstances that you cannot change, instead of complaining, change your perspective and ask the question, God, what are you doing in the unchangeable? What are you doing? Just to have eyes to see what God is doing. That's why I love that podcast. Mark Sayers was talking about the spiritual discipline of attentiveness. Just to be attentive to what God is doing around you. And I believe that God is doing so much around each one of you. In fact, that's why some of you have popped on this sermon. Because God is active. And you sense it right now. I'm sure you do. And the thing is, that is God. So just be attentive to that, what God is doing. Often we don't think that God is involved in every moment. But the truth is, every moment we need to be asking, what are you doing here now, Lord? Well, we're going to go on to our third subject. The third subject's about our mouth on fire and trying to put out the fire on, try and dampen the hot sauce of our mouths. And to be able to sort of intro this subject, I have a cheesy joke, okay? I just admit it. I'm not going to try and pretend. This is like a real story. This is a joke. And right off the top, I got it. It's cheesy. Okay, three pastors out fishing. As they're fishing, one of the pastors says, you know what? It sure feels good to confess our sins to one another. I think the Bible says we should do that. He said, so I just want to confess the lust I have. And it's sort of consumed my life, and it's so much in the back of my mind. Oh, and they said, just feels so good to get that out. And so he confessed that. Second pastor says, wow, you know, I have to actually confess greed because I've been hoarding money and I don't like to give it away. I haven't given away money in a long time. He said, I just want to confess that as my sin. And I'm like, okay, good. The third pastor said, okay, good, this feels so good to confess. My sin is gossip. I can hardly wait to get home. So, in the whole idea of gossip, it just sort of multiplies the sins around us. In fact, it says in Proverbs 16:28, a perverse person stirs up conflict. Have you been around people that just like to stir up conflict and get people at everybody else's throat? The Proverbs from the Bible says that's actually somebody that's got like a broken mind. There's something wrong about them to try and get people to be at each other's throats. And a gossip, somebody that shares negative information with others, separates the closest of friends. I think you could tell your own stories. I've had stories and stories working with people for so long about good friends that have been separated just because of negative words. The first church I worked at, I remember there's a young lady that came up to me and she said, I'd love to be mentored. I just want to be mentored. I want to grow more in Jesus. And I go, good. I'll ask some of our other student leaders to see if they could mentor. She said, that's great. Well, one of the youth nights, I had two of my student leaders who were actually interested in mentoring her come up and give their testimonies, sort of talk their God stories up front. And that other student heard them, and then she sort of turned to somebody else and said, oh, those two are so full of themselves. In fact, I can't, you know, they just think they're so good. But it was loud enough that the two heard it. And so now I went to my two student leaders and said, okay, would you love to take your time out of your schedules and disciple this one young lady? I said, no way. No way we're going to spend any time with her. And I thought, wow. Something that could have helped each other grow, something that could have been awesome and wonderful, was like unplugged because of two little sentences. And that is the power of gossip. Gossip and slander. Again, it seemed to be one of these acceptable sins. I know, Andrew, you were saying last week, there's sort of these acceptable sins like complaining, gossip. We even have gossip magazines. And I think on the radio sometimes, this is sort of the gossip column as if it's an okay thing. And for some reason, we think it's okay because it's true. If there's true information, it can't really be gossip. But as you unpack the Bible and layers of the Bible, it's just not about truth. It's about grace, too. It's about this idea about wanting other people's welfare, the best thing that for them. And so here are two definitions that I've hooked on to, and there is somebody that's studied the Bible longer than I have come up with these definitions, and they're beautiful. And this is number one. He says, gossip is sharing negative information when you're not part of the problem or the solution. If you're not a part of the problem, or if you're not a part of the solution, actually, and if you share negative things, it's not your business. You shouldn't be talking about that. So stop. If you're not trying to solve the problem with the person, or actually, you have to go to the person yourself, guess what? That is called gossip. And then slander. Slander is sharing true information. Did you know what they did? And it's true, but you share it with a design to hurt the person. You want to hurt that person, and so you share true information. Great, it's true. And Jesus came, he says, he came in truth and grace. You need the truth, but you also need God's grace. And slander does not do that in any way whatsoever. Why? Why do we like sharing gossip? Why is it so hard not to? And I admit it, it's like really hard. If you get some good information that's negative, man, it's hard. And to me, it's like oatmeal cookies. Like, I love oatmeal cookies. The soft, gooey kind, fresh out of the oven. Like, I can take, go through a dozen of them. It's bad because they're so warm and sweet. That's so good. It's like the stuff I just have to have. It's like, it's hard to stop not to do it. And that's what actually the Proverbs of the Bible says in Proverbs 18:8. It says, the words of a gossip are like choice morsels, and they go down to the innermost parts. In other words, you don't slough them off. You take a gossip, and what happens? You remember it. It's clicked in. It goes to your inner soul. So why do we do this? Why is the human race so into you? You think this is so destructive? We would not be into it. I've got a couple of things. I think I know why. I've read some people's, why do we do gossip? I'm just going to share a few of them. Number one is, strangely enough, a desire for respect. As a desire for respect. Or as somebody says, you want to be the Sherlock knows. You want to be the Sherlock who knows everything. You want to be the first one with the information. You want to appear smarter. Because, like, you hear a news story and you got to share it, right? And sometimes that's fine. We got to get the news out, right? So some things, hear something about lockdown. Hey, have you heard about? And isn't it fun to be the first one with the news? Isn't that awesome? There's something in you go, yeah, I was the first one. But if you say, hey, have you heard about the lockdown? And everybody says, oh, yeah, we already heard it. You go, oh. What is that? What is that? It's because there's this desire that you want to be the first with information, and which is fine with lockdown information. But when it comes to negative information with others, did you know, becomes really destructive, and you have to look at your own motive. What's driving you for that? Perhaps you just want to be a Sherlock knows. You want that to appear smart, the first one with the information. I had a young person that loved to do this in one of my youth groups when I was in Iowa. Iowa is like this prairie thing. You can look down a straight road, and if somebody's running away from home, they're running for 2 days, and you can still see them. Yeah, the idea is we're driving down this road, and there's this like mountain off in the distance, and we don't know how big it is because it's basically flat cardboard and a hunk of dirt. And this one young person said, "Oh, I know what that is. I hear, there's a volcano that's happened in Iowa." And I'm going, "No, there isn't, man. You just don't have volcanoes in the middle of the prairies." I go, "Okay, great. Let's change the subject." But everybody was interested in this volcano. We actually drive by and we find out it's just somebody that's doing construction slinging dirt up in the air. And all of a sudden everybody goes, and then they mock the poor guy, and I tried to stop him from mocking him. But the thing, why did he have to share that? Oh, I know. It's that desire for respect, that wanting to be the first one. There's also, I think this is a personality thing. Sometimes there's people who are introverts. Our mind is just as evil, but we're all inside. But the extrovert, the sort of the connection from brain to mouth is like a super highway, right? You think it comes out, And that, some people who don't put a guard on their lips, they become these Olympic lips. They just like come right out. In Proverbs 10:19 says, when words are many, sin is not absent. So the more things you say, just know that that sin is coming in there somewhere. So the better thing is start to slow down. But he who holds his tongue is wise. Just be wise. Another one is the strategic maneuver. And this is a little more evil. Can I just say evil? These are the Photoshoppers. It's like they take a piece of reality and Photoshop it enough just to make it suit their purposes. And so that you show them the photo and you go, "Oh, that's really what happened?" But you don't realize they Photoshopped it a little bit. And they try to have this strategic maneuver. Proverbs talks about this too in Proverbs 18:17. The first to plead his case seems right. The first person to tell you negative information, "Oh, wow, they're horrible. They did that to that person? Oh, well, something needs to be done." Right? You feel it, right? But you didn't hear the other side, and there's a whole other side. In fact, that's what the proverb says. The first to plead his case seems right until another comes and examines him. In other words, man, like it seems like whatever negative information, we take it in as a choice morsel. It becomes who we are, and we start to judge the person without even hearing that there might be another side. And unless you are paid to be the judge, maybe you shouldn't be hearing both sides like that. Maybe you shouldn't. I know sometimes when people say other things about how they hurt them, how they're horrible, we believe it. We just believe it. It's really hard to withhold judgment from people. Well, okay, thank you. But internally you go, "I know there's another side to this. I'm going to withhold judgment because I'm not going to take that choice morsel and make it my opinion of that person." So there's lots of problems, right? We got Sherlock nose in us. We have lack of self-control, Olympic lips. Sometimes we want to be Photoshoppers to the area around us. We want to put Bernie Sanders in whatever we do. What's the cure? What's the cure? Well, there are biblical cures, and I wish I could just give you one, but there's so many. I'm just going to give you a few of them. We're going to focus on one at the end. The Bible, if you haven't read the Bible, it is so practical. It is so practical. It is so helpful. Let's go to cure number one. Cure number one, face-to-face, talking to people face-to-face. If someone has hurt you, to move from, I'm going to say it, from move from cowardice to godliness, to actually go and talk to them. And can we be honest? Maybe the reason why we don't actually talk to people is because We don't have the courage to. We are like the timid lion that just can't say it. And so it's so much easier to say it to other people instead of actually having a conversation with the person who hurt us. The Bible tells us that in Matthew 18:15. If your brother or sister sins against you, if somebody has hurt you, if somebody has said something, if somebody has done something about it, it says, go and talk to all your friends. Hold on, it doesn't. It says, go and show him his fault just between the two of you. Why did Jesus say that? Because he knows how gossip will destroy a community. If he listens to you, you've won your brother over. And it's all good. It's all done. It's just, it doesn't involve the community. It's one-on-one, and it stops here, and it's done. And that is just good community living. Let's go and talk to people. It's brutal when that doesn't happen. And I've been in church world long enough to have that happen many times, where a loose word or an idea, and no one actually goes to you. This happened to me once. I can laugh about it now. I wasn't laughing about it at the time. Just as we're planting Church on the Rock, this Church on the Rock is actually a dream of six other churches. Isn't that fun? You say, do churches cooperate? Yes, they cooperated and said, let's do an outreach for our young people. And not only that, let's plant a church. So it was very indoors kind of meetings as we're talking about. They're trying to convince me to plant it as the pastor. As we're talking back and forth about planting this church, one of the pastors happened to tell somebody else outside that circle. And that person told someone else. And that person said, hold on, Dave's trying to take the youth group and plant it in as a church. And he actually said, Dave likes to play this game. It's a strategic game. Dave must be so strategic that this is his idea and he's trying to hurt everything we did. And so he then goes to talk to somebody in a seminary, which will remain nameless. And so now the seminary professor hears from somebody else, hold on, Dave is trying to take all these young people and make it into a church for himself. Actually, the six churches were actually trying to talk me into it. But so he said, wow, we have to do something. And so he sent out messages to 150 churches. Dave is a cult leader. Dave, don't invite Dave to any of your things because he is just plain evil. Now, okay, then I start to hear this back. Then we had to have a big meeting with all six pastors saying, no, this is actually our idea. The guy that sent out all the information, he wouldn't come to the meeting. He didn't want to hear the other side. It's just like, what? It was just a huge mess and got lots of feedback back and forth. But you know what? It would have stopped if one of the people, just one of the people, had the courage to come to me face to face and say, is this what you're doing? I know it's hard. I know it's hard. It takes courage to do it. And you don't have to be mean. No. You just have to say, is this what you're doing? And it would have been all over. But that's the courage to have face to face. Often we tell other people, the circle gets wider and wider. And what happens is you get more and more people involved. And as the circle widens, there's this biblical word that says, it's called meddling. Isn't that awesome? Proverbs 26:17, like one who seizes a dog by the ears, which is not good, okay? I don't care how big the dog is. You just don't like yank the dog with the ears, okay? Because it's going to come for your face. Who, like one who seizes a dog by the ears, is a passerby who meddles in a quarrel that's not his own. So, sure, if there's a person that they didn't get reconciled, then yes, we can get others involved. But have you talked to them yourself? Have you talked to them yourself? There are people that come and talk to me and say, hey, Dave, help me understand. Have you been doing this? Oh, I feel so good to be able to clear that up, just the two of us, instead of going out and out. And you know, as church leaders, if you're a church leader in a ministry and things are happening in your ministry that are bothering you, that need to be confronted, have courage to go and confront them. Have courage to go and talk to the people and say, hey, you're doing this. And we can't be doing this. And you can do it in love, but you have to be firm too. We need to be doing this all through our community. So it doesn't go out in shock waves. It stays between two people, and hopefully people can be won back. Another thing the Bible talks about is this whole idea of quietly pray. Some sins you need to deal with, especially if you're in leadership. But not everything needs to be confronted. My roommate at college, I remember he would get me on every little single detail. And finally, he told me, "Dave, I've got a spiritual gift. I've got a spiritual gift of confrontation." I go, man, oh, can I switch roommates, man? Because every little thing was just like, pick that. It was brutal. You know what? The Bible also says love covers over a multitude of sins. You know, because you love me, you can let some things go. There's this godly woman out in Winnipeg area. She works for the Church Renewal Church out in Southland. Her name is Grace Fast. She was under Pastor Ray Dirksen out there, and she understood that you could hear God and listen to God. And she wanted to tell Ray this, but he was preaching sermons against it. And so what she did, she asked God, because she talks to God, said, "Should I go and talk to him?" God says, not yet. Pray for him instead. And so that's what she did for a year. For a year, she prayed for him. And guess what? After a while, the light turned on, and he started to understand, hey, I can hear from God. We can all hear from God. You know, can I say sometimes it's better for God to teach a person than us to teach a person. You know how sometimes, well, if I get after them and they're not changing, Parents, okay, listen to me on this one. You got to be open and honest, right? But sometimes, what do you call it? Sort of, you just keep on picking at them. It doesn't help. Maybe sometimes you need to be quiet and pray. Another thing the Bible talks about is simply keeping secrets. Keeping secret is like lifting weights up the mouth whole thing. It's like getting all pumped up and doing a workout because it's so hard to keep a secret. But the Proverbs 11:13 says, a gossip betrays a confidence, but a trustworthy person keeps a secret. Just know that they're locked away. It's awesome as a pastor because, can I tell you, I know a lot of people's secrets. And don't ask me about one of them because they're locked away, keys thrown out. I want to be a trustworthy person, and so I keep these. And I pray for them, and I try to get them help. But there's something about that that is a workout where you want to say something, but you don't. It just builds up good self-control muscle in your soul. I heard a great story about a pastor trying to collect money for their building project. And he went to somebody that had some resources. And he said, would you be willing to write a check for this? And the person said, well, I'll write a check, but I want to know who the biggest giver is in this project. Pastor said, I'm not going to tell you who the biggest giver is, but would you like to give? He says, no, I'm going to write a huge check for your project, but I'm not going to unless you tell me who the biggest giver is. The pastor was a good pastor. He said, I don't need the check then. I'm not going to say. It's a secret. And so as he turned to leave, the guy said, hold on. Can I tell you, actually, my business has failed. I just have no money. And he says, I don't know what to do. I just didn't know whether I could trust you. The pastor spent some time praying with him. They talked about some solutions. And as he went back to his church office, the first person in the office said, oh, good. What was the size of the check that he gave? And the pastor said, I'm not saying. It's a secret. And there's something about weightlifting of keeping secrets. Number one thing, talk to people face to face. Have the courage to do that. Leaders, we need to do that. Keep secret, pray quietly if God tells you, not now. And keep secrets. Let me throw you a couple more before we're out of here. Just stop the gossiper. Sometimes we have a responsibility to help each other. It says Proverbs 17:4, wrongdoers eagerly listen to gossip. Liars play close attention to slander. You know the people that are going, tell me. You know what the Bible calls them? Like, they're wrongdoers. It's you're not sort of absolved from this whole communication thing. It's not just the gossiper's fault. It's you saying, hold on. Is this something I can help with at all? Am I a part of the problem or a part of the solution? Well, no, but you should know why. You know, you should go and talk to them first. And I can pray for you that you should go and talk to them first. Maybe I can help you in that way. There is something about just saying, have you had the opportunity to talk to that person yet? We don't have to be mean about it, but we can ask. And so in our community, we keep on fostering face-to-face communication. And lastly, something else that the Bible just talks about is the whole area of confession and the whole area of apologizing. And maybe sometimes we need to apologize for our words. I've had to do that so many times. Just through this series, I'm going, oh, I said that, didn't I? And I've had to go and phone up somebody and say, will you forgive me for saying that? I was out of line for saying that. I was at a youth workers retreat walking down pathway. And it was at Fair Havens, if you know of Fair Havens. And I was going back to the main building. And I was talking to another youth pastor, and he was just like ripping on a senior pastor. I can't believe he's making me do this and this and this. And it's like pretty brutal, right? And I didn't stop him. I just let him vent it all out. Later on that day, he comes back to me and he said, Dave, I was wrong. My senior pastor is really helpful. He's helped me with these things, and I shouldn't have talked to you about it. I actually need to go and talk to him about it. And, okay, how did I think about that youth pastor? His stock just went way up in my... I said, man, you are a godly man. Why? Because he apologized for his words. So let me give you a little personal vision as we close up here. Could you imagine a community? Could you imagine you being in a community where people use words to build up each other? That's what we're going to talk about next week. A little spoiler alert. But if there's bad things that happen, and they're bound to happen, why? Because we're people. What would it be like if people actually talked to each other face to face first? In grace, but truth. What would it be like? Would you want to be a part of that community? Count me in. If I've messed up, I want to know. I know I'm going to get a whole bunch of emails. That's good. Send them. But I want to know. But guess what? We don't need the world to know. I want to be in a community like that, where there is this truth and grace that is given face to face. This truth and grace that is given face to face. But it means that we need to be courageous. So I'm going to pray for you that we can be a part of a community of courage, that there can be truth that is spoken in grace, and we do this face to face. That would be amazing to see our community, and if you're involved in other communities, in families, in places of work, wherever you're at, to be able to do this together. Let me pray for that, and then we're going to have a wonderful time of worship. I'm looking forward to our time of prayer tonight. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that your word is so practical. It is so practical. And I know it's hard. It's impossible to live this Christian life. And that's why we need to ask for your strength. So God, I ask for the strength, the power within us to live this truth and grace face to face, God. I pray that you would let it soak through the core of our being that we want to talk to people just face to face. In your truth, in your grace, God. I pray that you would do that in each one of us. Continue to make our community a wonderful, safe place, a wonderful place that people grow in. And they realize places they've fallen down in. And they can turn around and change. So God, I pray that this will be a mark of Church on the Rock. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
All right.
All right, Dave.
Yeah. Thanks again, Braden, Shana, and Alex. Can't forget you, man. That was beautiful. All right, here we are. Question and answer time.
Question and answer time. Well, thank you so much for that message on words and on gossip. And you know, I appreciated that verse that where words are many, sin is not absent. And so yeah. I thought maybe we should just not talk at all.
Yeah, awkward silence.
Awkward. No.
I
don't. we'll discuss some questions because there are some questions. Thank you for those of you who sent in your questions. So Celine sent in a question saying, you talked about that Matthew 18 principle mm-hmm. where if somebody sins against you, you go to them one-on-one and talk to them.
Yeah.
What if that doesn't work, right? Like what's the rest of that process? Is there a process?
Yeah, there certainly is. And you know that, you know, in Matthew 18 sets out the ideal. Every situation is slightly different and every situation is just fraught with difficulties. But yeah, if somebody has hurt you, you go to them and talk to them. And maybe it might actually take another time, but you need to go and talk to them, said, hey, this was wrong, or this that hurt me. And if there's reconciliation, you don't need to talk to anybody else. It's done. But if they refuse, if they turn their back on that, then the Bible says you need to take a couple other witnesses and other words, people that were there that saw the whole situation, and then you can go and start to widen the circle and say, hey, this is, it's all for the purpose of restoration. Come on back. Could you repent? Could you say that you're sorry? Could you change your mind? And then if they don't with the witnesses, then you go and bring it to the elders of the church and becomes a church deal. If people refuse to even say, listen, no, I'm not gonna back away from that. That's what I want to do, and this is what I'm gonna do. Then it's really up to the elders of the church to say, all right, listen, you need to take some time away from our church community because that's just gonna be destructive. And you go, what? You kick people out of the church after a long process and after them not bending and not wanting to turn back. But it's for the health of the community. But all along, every step, it's for their good. And hopefully they have the humility to turn back and say, yeah, I was wrong.
Okay, so here's a potential powder keg of a question.
Yeah,
I'm going to ask it anyway.
Okay.
Have you actually seen the Matthew 18 principle work?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Yes, I've seen it work, and we've actually worked with people all the way to the end where we say, okay, you need to go until you can come back. So we've done the whole thing of church discipline, but there are times when there's a young lady who was very much a gossip and was spreading all kinds of gossip, and it was to the point where we actually had to come and talk to her, and she couldn't see it. We brought other people to talk to her about it, and then like the light went on, you know, in tears, she said, I need help. And then she, wow. You know, yeah, she got some help for that.
Very cool.
And very much, and no one else had to know. It's great. It's about her restoration. So yeah, it's hard.
Yeah.
It's hard, and it's not just like a 1 week thing. Sometimes it spreads out for months.
Yeah.
But it's...
So speaking of something that's hard.
Yeah, yeah.
You talked about when you go into a situation and you see gossip happening, that we have a responsibility not just to gossip ourselves, but to actually kind of help other people not to gossip. I'll put it that way. It's a kind way of saying it. How do we do that? You said it requires courage, but how do we, what are some practical ways that we can actually do that?
I know you're going to share a good one, but how you know, somebody says, I can't believe they did this to me and it's so horrible. Wow. How did they react to you when you spoke to them? Assuming they spoke to them. Mm-hmm. And if, I haven't talked to them yet. Oh, wow. Let me pray for you. So when you go and talk to them, that maybe this can be all sorted out. Again, you know, gently trying to get them to go and talk to the people who are the ones that are
that's really cool. So again, kind of remind them of what Matthew or Jesus says in Matthew, how it's supposed to be.
Tell your story.
Okay, so you know, some people have mother-in-law problems. Mine is that she's too good.
Tell me all about the problem.
Oh, sorry. She's too good. She's too righteous for me. So every once in a while around the dinner table, you get to talking, you know, you're complaining, grumbling, something comes up about somebody. And I've noticed this over time. My mother-in-law, what she does is she compliments the person. She just says something good. You know what I've noticed about that person? And then she says something good. And everybody's like, oh, okay, I get it. You know, like coals, heaping coals, you know? But I really appreciate that. You know, I appreciate that that reminder, that gentle reminder. It's not, she doesn't, you're gossiping, right? It's just a gentle reminder that, hey, maybe we're heading in the wrong direction.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. So that's cool.
Good. Well, let's pray for that person or,
So one final question. So you talked about prayer as a strategy for knowing kind of how to act when we've been gossiped against, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And instead of just going to that person or whatever, and just kind of take that to God and how should I proceed here, right? Can prayer be used? So the question is, can prayer be used as a proactive strategy for gossip, not just a reactive strategy?
Yeah, yeah, very much so. I was just going to say yes and then and look at you. But but yeah, very much so. It's like, especially if, wow, is that a big enough thing to confront them over? Is this, oh man, I don't know. It seemed sort of in that sort of in between. Well, I'm going to pray to see if that some of that prayer could change, because it's always easier for God to teach somebody than for us to teach somebody. And sometimes that proactive prayer will change the situation or some of the things that they're struggling with. Yeah.
Yeah, I listened to that podcast that was
on
Facebook.
Isn't it so good?
It's so cool.
Yeah.
And again, I said it before, but I'll say it again. Highly recommend it. Check that out. But, and I don't want to spoil it. It's not going to. But he talked about two things. There's three stages in the day. The first day is first stage is an abiding prayer, where we just soak in God's presence and we just draw from Him. And then as we go through the day, it's an attentive prayer. So, God, what are you doing? What are you doing around me? How can I be involved in that? And I think if we're doing those, we're far less likely to be loose with our words and to gossip, even accidentally, right? And so I'd see prayer as a highly effective tool to train us to not be gossips. Hmm. So lots of good stuff. And again, in the vein of prayer, 7 o'clock tonight, we're going to be doing some
Please
battle.
Please join us.
And that's going to be amazing. But until then, can you send us off in a word of prayer, Dave?
You got it.
Thank you.
Thanks so much for joining us today. And I want to thank you, especially for those of you who give. Because of your gifts, we continue to do what we do. So thank you for those things. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your word that continues to go out. Thank you so much for our tiny groups and the community that can happen. Lord, we just long for the day where this is over and we can sort of turn the page and we can get back together in face-to-face. But, Father, until that time, keep us dependent on you. And, Lord, I pray that tonight in our time of prayer that history will be changed, because voices will gather together and ask the one who can change history. And we ask this in Jesus' powerful name. Amen.
Amen. Have a great morning.
Bye.